magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Come, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna,
of my sound. Well, they expect me to say something, so I might as well get up and say something. And it's good to be here. It's good to be here. And I want to make this very clear. The president used that term, let me be very clear. I remember he says that all the time. And so it's a good saying that I wasn't just driving down Interstate 30 and looked in my little book and thought, well, I'll stop there for church, you know. But I came from down in Louisiana this morning, and I came here on purpose. I came here on purpose to come to a certain Pacific place. There's 100 places I could have went, and but I wanted to go where I could hear that certain sound. And God's good to me. God's good to you. If you're here today, God's good to you. And so I got up this morning at 4 o'clock, couldn't sleep, worried about maybe I'd get lost or something. And it might take me a long time to get here, but I made it in good time. So I've been planning on coming for oh, okay. Is it on now?
I've got the switch turned to the on side. Does that not mean anything?
It's on. It's on. There it is. There it is. Yeah, because I get to jumping around and shouting. And yeah, they say when you get so old you can't jump up and down, then you just run around and around. And I'm not saying y'all are like that, but I can remember 30 or 40 years ago when I went where the other church was and Brother Tucker was there. I remember them young people, they hit that floor, they was dancing. I mean, I never seen nothing like it in my life. Now, we got out there a while ago and some of your brethren, you know, done that, but Nothing like I seen back there 40 years ago. Nothing like that. It was amazing. And so I've been thinking about the advantage. There's an advantage, a big advantage in serving God. And one of the advantages is not everlasting life. That's just a side. That's a side effect. That's what you get if you do it. And I can understand why the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they called them Sadducees, but a Sadducee served God for the advantage. Because he studied the law and he knew that God was going to look after him from the day he was born till the day he died. That God was going to shelter him. So there wasn't nothing wrong with being a Sadducee. And if I would have been a trained Sadducee and my grandparents would have been a Sadducee, I would have been happy with that because I'd have got a resurrection anyhow. It wouldn't have mattered if you're a Sadducee. Even though you don't believe you're going to get it, you're still going to get it if you do right. So it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered. You wouldn't have lost nothing. But the Sadducees served God because they had 4,000 years of history, biblical history to read. That's why they served God. And so the advantage, there's a big advantage in serving God. You can, and history proves that. And our nations today proves that. America today is proving that. And we talked this morning about, and there was a song that an old time song that that Jimmy Davis and Dottie Rambo wrote together. She was a United Pentecostal woman, and it was "Oh, let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and no one else can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rise. Let the storms ring out. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and no one can harm you, for I'm sheltered safe in the arms of God. So that's where we're at today. We're sheltered. We have a shelter. And that's what this is. The church is a shelter. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved, and the tower is the church. The tower is a church. The name of Jesus is in the church, and the righteous run into the church and are saved. And the tower is made out of lively stones. We got lively stones here today. We're not made out of wood, hay, and stubble. We're made out of lively stones. And so the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and what? And are sheltered. And I was thinking about today we studied about the ark, and I could ask people, which would be a foolish question, would you rather be on the inside of the ark, or would you rather be on the outside floating belly down, face down? Usually a person gets drowned in water, their face is down, all the pictures I've seen. But so that wouldn't be much of a choice, would it? But you know what that ark was? It was a shelter. It was a shelter for 8 people, and they were saved. The Bible said Noah and his family were saved in the ark. And so God does that. And then you come on down through the Bible, different places. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is one of the places that lost out with God. The town becomes sinful, and all the towns around it. And I asked people, I said, would you rather be in Sodom and Gomorrah, or would you rather be Abraham off at a distance watching it burn? Yeah, there's a good example. Abraham was sheltered, and the whole city burned up. That's why they can't find it. The fire was so hot that that it burned everything up. It melted it. And so it's a shelter. And then there's a lot of good stories in the Bible about shelter. You come on down, and one of the good examples was Israel. When Moses told Pharaoh, he said tomorrow, exactly 24 hours from now, exactly. That's what he said. Get your clock out, Pharaoh. Look at your watch. 24 hours from now, he said, there's going to be the worst storm that ever hit Egypt in the history of the world. Not only the worst storm that ever hit Egypt, but the worst hailstorm ever recorded happened 24 hours after Moses said it would. But here's the wonderful part. Here's the wonderful part. If you was a child of God and living in the land of Goshen, you could just watch it across your fence. It was just a fence. You could just look out there and watch it. And look, the Egyptians, the hail balls were so big, I think they're the size of watermelon. You ever see a hail ball big as a watermelon? They talk about them on the news being like baseballs, but they were big as watermelons. They beat all the limbs off of trees. If an animal was out in the field, it killed it instantly. If a human being was standing out there, it killed it instantly. So guess what? Goshen was a shelter. Goshen was a shelter. And they just stood back and watched it. They just stood back and watched it, like on the screen there. You can just stand back and watch. There it was, right across the fence. Wasn't even a fence. It was just a line in the sand. And there they watched it. And guess who was safe? In the arms of his love. The children of Israel. The children of Israel in the land of Goshen. So you can see you can see the advantage of being safe with God. You can see the advantage. And then of course, but here's how good God is. Let me tell you the rest of the story about that hailstorm. Is even though Moses predicted it, he said, "Now what I'd like for you to do, I'd like for you to tell all your neighbors, I'd like for you to go out all over the country and give them a warning." He said, "We're not going to let this come without giving you a warning." And he said, "And tell them to get in a shelter." That's what he told them. He said, "And if you've got some sheep and donkeys and goats and dogs and chickens," he said, "put them in a shelter." Those Egyptians' houses was full of goats. They wasn't room to stand. Every animal they had, if they didn't have a barn, they took it in the house because they believed what Moses was saying. And then if an Egyptian lived next door to one of those people in Goshen, you know what they said? They come over there and they said, "Moses said it's coming a hailstorm tomorrow. Said, do you mind? Would you mind if we'd come over to your house? Would you mind if we'd come over to your house? We hear that it ain't going to hail here. Ain't going to be no storm in Goshen, but it's going to be in Egypt." And thousands of those Egyptians, you can count on it, crossed that line in the sand, and they went over there and they watched it go down. They watched it go down. And then I say, and one of the greatest events that ever happened was Pharaoh and his army. I said, what would you rather be? Would you rather be in the biggest army in the world? Or would you rather be standing with the man, all he's got is a stick in his hand? A stick, a staff. That's all he had, was a staff. And most people would say, "I'd rather be with the greatest army in the world." But look what happened. Look what happened. Where's that tambourine? She's got that tambourine. Hit it one time. Yeah, I'm going to show you. Yeah. Would you rather be on the seashore with your tambourine dancing, watching the Egyptian army? Would you rather be on, or would you rather be floating out there face down? And the Bible said they washed up on shore. And you know how they knew that Pharaoh was in that army? He washed up on shore. Moses said, that's Pharaoh right there. That's Pharaoh. That's the king of Egypt. By the way, get that golden shield he's got and that sword and that crown off his head. He ain't going to need it. No, he ain't going to need it because he's dead. He's dead. He's dead. I said, "What would you rather do? Be playing a tambourine, dancing, shouting with what was her name? Miriam? Miriam shouting, dancing, singing a song. God has destroyed the horse and its army. Or would you rather be floating out there in the Red Sea, face down? Washed up on the shore." Yeah, you talk about a shelter. And that's why the Sadducees, served God, because they'd read all these accounts. They read the book. They had the book. They read the book. And then one of the greatest stories about God's protection is the three Hebrew children. Here they are. And they weren't charismatic. If you caught what they said, they didn't say, "Our God's going to deliver us." But they said, "If it's God's will, if God wants to deliver us, He can. But we're not bound down. We're not bound down." And let me show you what happened. The far was seven times hotter than they ever had it before to burn people. And the Bible said that the men that took them down there to throw them in, the fire was so hot that it scorched them and killed them while they were throwing them in. And the Bible said that the three Hebrew children walked around and the king looked at them and he said, "There's a fourth one, must be the Son of God." Now get this, they come out of there shouting without even the smell of smoke on them. They didn't even have any smell of smoke on them. So I asked him, I said, "Well, what would you rather be, the king's servant, throwing them in, or would you rather be walking around in the fire?" And we had a deal here about a month ago. Some of you have seen it on the news. Some of you have seen it on the news. They were 20 men. I watched them. I watched them on the news. One of the worst forest fires that Arizona had. It was hot. It was hot. And those 20 men come flying up through there, went through that barricade, and they were going. And these 20 men had the best engineered heat suit ever built in the history of the world. You're talking probably $20,000 a suit. Every man had a suit. And he wasn't a bit afraid of that fire. He drove right in there. They let him out of that truck. He jumps out and he has his little suit. And when the fire got hot, 19 of them climbed in this suit. This suit is designed by the greatest engineers in American history. You could put a man in an oven 500 degrees in that suit, put him in there, leave him 30 minutes, and bring him out, and he's still breathing. How about that? Is that a good suit or what? Is that a good suit or what? But let me tell you what happened to the 19 men. You've seen it on the news. Every one of them toasted inside that suit. That suit couldn't protect them. And I'd say, well, would you rather have the best design heat suit in the world, or would you rather be one of the three Hebrew children in there walking around? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Those 19 men are dead. Those 19 men are dead. And so God takes care of us. God shelters us. God's a shelter in a time of storm. And we know, we should know that that's one of our benefits. That's one of our blessings. And it can happen today. It ain't necessarily just because of the three Hebrew children. They were just people like we are. They served God. They kept the commandments. And I like what the brother said. Today he's doing the best he can. He's living for God. And wants to be a just Christian. Wants to be a just Christian. I do the best I can. I try to serve God. I try to keep His commandments. And so I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I have these benefits. And then, of course, there's the story of Daniel. This is a beautiful story. The lion's story. They throw him in there, in the lion's den. And I think he went to sleep. They rolled over there. You know, lion's got a good warm body. And I think Daniel laid his head down on him and went to sleep like Peter did. When you have a shelter, you go to sleep. Peter went to sleep, didn't he? He went to sleep. The Bible said he was so sound asleep, angel had to gouge him. Might have had to gouge him two or three times. You know why Peter went to sleep? Because he had a shelter over him. He wasn't worried at all. He wasn't worried at all. But let me tell you about the people. Let's talk about the other people. The other people in the lions. The men that false accused Daniel. Let's talk about them. The Bible said the lions didn't eat them. Lions don't like human beings. It's not one of their favorite foods. No, they don't. They just flat don't. They'll spit you out. They don't eat. They have to really be hungry. But they throwed several men in there. Their wives, all their children, same lions did. What the Bible say? The lions crushed them all to pieces. When they went in there to get them after it was all over, they were all just crushed. The whole families, family after family, was crushed. And I say, well, would you rather serve Daniel's God, or would you rather serve the God of that time? Would you rather they all serve gods? You know, Daniel's God took care of them. Let me tell you a donkey story and a lion. You know, God shields a donkey. God takes care of a donkey. There's scriptures in the Bible to prove that God not only builds a shelter for human beings, but God does it for a donkey. And here's the story. There was a rebellious prophet. He disobeyed God. And he's riding down the road on his donkey. It says he's riding down the road on his donkey. And here comes a lion. Now remember, the lion's one of his best foods is the donkey. Oh, he loves donkeys. And because when you see that National Geographic, He's always eating them zebras, and zebras and donkeys are cousins. So he loves donkeys. He loves donkeys. He loves donkeys. And when that donkey seen that lion coming down the road, do you think for 1 minute that he said, I'm going to throw this guy off and I'm getting out of here? And he did not. That donkey, I'm telling you, you might not believe this, but that donkey knew that God was protecting him. You understand? Not just humans, but the donkey actually knew that God was going to take care of him. He wasn't a bit afraid. Here he's a lion's number one dinner. And here comes a lion. And the lion leaps up on his back. Leaps right up on his back. You think that scares him? No. You think he run off? Got the prophet off. Killed him. And read it. Read it in your Bible. Said when the man showed up to pick up the dead prophet, guess who was still there? The donkey. You know why? Because God protected him. And he knew that God was protecting him. And he wasn't afraid of the number one donkey killer in the world, which was a lion. He wasn't afraid of him, was he? He wasn't. You know why? Because God sheltered him. God built a shelter around him. And so we're to know that. And that's to encourage us. And if you got neighbors, someone that ain't coming to church, said, well, you need to come over at our church. Said, we're a special church. Said, God will shelter you. God will bless you. God will look after you. God will bless you when you rise up. God will bless you when you go out. God will bless you when you lie down. God will bless you when you get up. And God will bless your children when they go out. And God will bless your children when they come in. Yeah, because you know why? We're sheltered safe within the arms of God. Praise God. Praise God. We're sheltered. We're sheltered. We have a shelter. We have a strong tower. The name of the Lord. The church. We have a shelter. Praise God. Praise God. And so I could talk all day on people in the Old Testament that God sheltered. One of them was Jacob. If you read Jacob's last few words, he said, I'm 150 years old. I believe he's 149. 150 years I've lived. And God has sheltered me all my life. From the day I was born. That's what Jacob said. You know how he done it? He provided him with his own personal angel. You know who kept the donkey from being killed by a lion? An angel. Yeah. So if a donkey deserves that from God, why don't we expect it? We should expect that. God will take care of us. God will take care of us. You know why the nine lepers didn't come back and thank Jesus for healing? You want to know why? Here's why. Here's why. It was their God-given right. They were Jews. They weren't from Samaria? They weren't Samaritans. That was their God-given right. It's our God-given right to expect God to look after us. It's our God-given right. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. That's why the nine didn't turn around and go back and thank him. Because they had it coming. They knew when he prayed for them. They knew when he prayed for them, they were going to be healed. But the Samaritan didn't think he was going to get it. He didn't think he was going to get healed. The Samaritan, he thought, no, not me. I'm not a Jew. I'm not going to get it. But look, God healed him, didn't he? God healed him of leprosy anyhow. And that's why he turned around and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So here we are today, filled with the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ. It's our God-given right. You have a God-given right that God looks after you, takes care of you, and shelters you. And when you read Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4, The Gospel of the Kingdom, as Brother was talking about it today, about Brother Souter's sermons and different things, you'll read how people in the body of Christ, for 100 years now, Brother Souter's, you go back to his first message right now, about 100 years ago this year, he started preaching. We know he was preaching in 1915. We know that. And probably before that he was preaching, because he told about his dream in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And so Jesus, he says, you remember when he said, Old Jerusalem, I believe he mentioned that this morning, didn't you? About Jesus weeping. Did you mention that about him? About him? Huh? Yeah, yeah. That Jesus looked out when he went to, when he was standing on the hill and looked out and said, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together? I would have built you a shelter like a mother hen. In other words, everybody been around the farm, they know what a mother hen will do. If a mother hen don't have little bitties, she'll fly to the highest tree. Yeah, yeah. When the wolves come by and the dogs, she'll fly. But you let that mother hen have 10 or 12 little bitties, that little baby hen, she'll fluff her wings out and she'll fight till she dies. And that's what Jesus said. How often would I have gathered you together and put you in a shelter and took care of you? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have done that? And look, in A.D. 70, just a few years down the road, he left here, what, A.D. 33, something like that. So it's about 40 years down the road. Finally it came. He told about it. And guess what? And guess what? Everybody in that city that was full of the Holy Ghost, everyone in that city knew what weekend it was going to happen. They knew. Jesus made this statement. Jesus made this statement. He said, he acted like he really wasn't sure what weekend it was going to be. But he found out, and his disciples found out what weekend it was going to be. It was going to be a Passover weekend. It had to be a Passover weekend. They killed him on the Passover, and it had to be a Passover weekend for this to happen in Jerusalem. But here, 40 years before that, someone stands up, tears running down his eyes, and said, "How often would I have gathered you together and sheltered you if you would have just snuggled up?" He said, "When I knock on the door." He said, "I'll come in and sup with you and you with me," didn't he? He said, how often would I have gathered you together? Praise God. Thank God that you're here today and you feel what you feel. And he broke down and he cried. He broke down and he cried. You know, one of the reasons he really didn't want to hang on the cross was he felt like he was a failure. He felt like he was a failure. He knew all these people that were going to die in A.D. 70. 600,000 visitors showed up that weekend. The gates are open. Every gate to the city. But remember this. While 600,000 people are going into town from all over the world. James said the Jews were scattered all over the world. They spent months coming. It was a big event. The Passover. And I don't know how many thousands and thousands of sheep and goats that they sacrificed that weekend. But listen to this. The same time 600,000 was walking in the gate, there was thousands of them with their tambourine. Hit it again. Hit it again. Yeah. Yeah. Thousands of them walking out. Where are you going? I don't know. How come you're going? Because Jesus said for us to get out of town. When we seen the army around the city, said he told us to get out of town. And our pastor, Brother James, he just died a couple years ago. They killed him. And his last sermon was, "It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And you need to get out of town." And here they go walking out of town. And now here's that Roman general. What makes you think he pulled back? He pulled back. And I always said that he looked out if a senior like myself would have fell down. Titus had enough manners, he'd have got off his horse and said, "Let me help you up." Yeah, because God put it in his heart. God put it in his heart. And he lifted him, lift a man up an elderly man picked him up and patted him on the back and said, "Now, you go ahead. You go ahead." But 600,000 people entered that city. And after it was all said and done, there wasn't one Holy Ghost person left in that city. And I'm going to tell you this too. Write this down. This is a little extra. This has nothing to do with it. There wasn't one woman with child, a small child, that left that city to flee to the mountains. Not one Holy Ghost woman. Now you say, what makes you say that, Brother Roar? Well, I can tell you what makes me say it. Jesus said, you don't want to have a little child hanging on your side? It's going to slow you down? And you're not going to be pregnant? He said, I'll tell you what you do. Just pray. Just pray. Didn't he say that? Pray. 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 So all you had to do was pray. You didn't have to worry about it. But there was thousands of young children born inside that place because they were eating their kids. A child, as soon as a child was born, they'd have him for supper. Sometimes the next day. And that's sad, isn't it? That's sad. But the difference is that Jesus provided a shelter. Every one of those people could have got out of town. Every one of them. Titus would have stood right there. Every one of them left. But they didn't. The gates were closed. And months later, I don't know how long it was, but here's what happened. Here's what happened. They didn't have a shelter. And guess what happened? History says 1 million of them died. 600,000 were taken captive. And you know how a lot of those million died? They hung them on crosses out there outside the city. Everybody tried to escape, they'd hang them on a cross, and they died that way, all because they weren't sheltered in the arms of God. Can you see the advantage? Can you see the advantage of serving God? Let the storm cloud rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. And so God takes care of people. God takes care of people, just like He did Peter. We have several brethren works for the prison. We have one of the largest prison systems in the world, the state of Texas. The state of Texas is going to go broke, not because we don't work hard, because we got one of the largest prison systems in the world. And if you work a few years, you get 80% of your pay. And we're paying people right now that had a prisoner in there, took a cure of. We're paying three different people. Two of them's retired, and the third one, yeah. We're paying three people to take care. Well, it won't work. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to work. That won't work. And so I made a statement the other day about Detroit, Michigan. I said, Houston, Texas is probably next. Houston, Texas. Brother Billy Brown, if you'd have been in the meeting 2 years ago, Brother Billy Brown insinuated that his city was Sodom and Gomorrah. Brother Billy Brown knows that. He got up and said, we have to learn to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. That was a statement he made, brethren. And the mayor of Houston got elected, I don't know, 4 years ago, whenever, by a landslide. So I thought, well, surely they won't vote for again. Surely. And I've got a picture that I got out of the paper. Mayor of Houston standing there, and her friend, her lover for 20 years, she said, is a female. Her lover for 20 years, a female. Her lover has her Bible in her hand. And Joel Osteen, if you watch him, you ought to get sick, you ought to vomit. He's the one that prayed over him, Brother Joel. Yeah, yeah. I got the article if you want it. Yeah, he asked God to bless him. Oh, God, bless him. Can you imagine? That's why Houston's next. That's why Houston's next. Now let me tell you about Detroit. Detroit, Michigan. I used to be in the RV business. I sold motorhomes. I'd go to Florida, vacation. I'd drive a motorhome because I sold motorhomes. And when I'd see a big diesel pusher, you know, that's one of them fancy ones, you know, diesel pusher. Now they're $300,000 or $400,000 or more. But back then, they weren't quite that high. I knew where the guy was from. He was from Detroit. If he had a job sweeping floors at General Motors, he made $50,000 or $60,000 a year. The man that picks up trash in Detroit. I ain't got nothing against picking up trash. I had a job one time on a trash truck. So I'm not about picking up trash. If you happen to pick up trash, that's all right. That's a good job. Thank God for your job. But they got people in Detroit picking up trash, throwing garbage bags in the back of a truck, making $60,000-$70,000 a year. And when they retire, they're going to make another $30,000 or $40,000 a year. And I asked Brother Bernie Travis, lives in Detroit, right out of Detroit. You know, our church moved out of Detroit here several years ago. I said, Bernie, I said, did they take the Bibles out of school in Detroit? Oh, yeah. Bernie, are they allowed to pray in school in Detroit? Oh, no. I said, Bernie, did they tear down the Ten Commandments off of the wall in Detroit and throw them in a trash can? Some of them had a little more respect than that. They'd say, you want to take them home? If you don't, they'd throw them in a trash can. He said, yeah, they did. Today, Detroit is in poverty. Never to rise again. I've seen a home on TV in Detroit. If you build it today, it would cost you $500,000. I've been in the home building business. And there it sat, empty, with boards on the window. Anybody want this house can have it. Just pay a little bit of back taxes. Of course, that could be a lot. Yeah. Empty, folks. Nobody living in it. Why? Why? Why is that? Why is that? I'm going to show you why it is. I'm going to tell you a story about the 39th parallel. Do a lot of you know what the 39th parallel is? That's an imaginary line that separates North and South Korea. When you cross that, I believe it's the 39th, isn't it? 39th, yeah. When you step over that, then it's on this side, south, and you step back over here, that's the north. So it's just a line in the sand that separates it. But I'm going to show you what happens when a nation turns from God and they don't have that blessing and that shelter. Now, they say if you're flying an airplane out in the water and you're cross and you're looking out over North Korea, it's pitch dark. There ain't a light on in the city. Number one, they can't afford food, let alone lights. So the lights are out. Lights out. You don't turn a light on at night. You fumble around in the dark, try to feel where you're going. It's total darkness. North Korea is total darkness tonight. Brethren, it's total darkness. And so when you cross that line, all at once, the city lights up. Seoul, Korea, South Korea lights up. It lights up. People, it's lit up. And you want to, I'm going to tell you the difference between the North and the South. I've seen a girl interviewed on the History Channel. On the History Channel. And her father, they ask her, well, what do you eat? They're starving to death today in North Korea. They're starving to death. They have no food. You know why? Because they have no shelter of God. Because God said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? God never seen the righteous forsaken. So you don't have to worry about that. And this is what she said. This is what she said. Me and my father will get up early of a morning and we'll go into the mountains and they take their little knife with them. And guess what they do? They ain't catching coons or possums. I've ate possum, yeah, back in Kentucky. We said grace over it too. But we had possum. Thank God for the possum. But you know what she said? We take our knife and we strip bark off of trees. Yeah, they strip bark, and they take it home, and they make soup out of it. Need a lot of salt and pepper. Yeah, I'm just showing you. I'm going to show you the difference between the two. You cross that 39th parallel, they're eating chicken noodle soup. Chicken noodle soup's good. any kind of chicken soup. But you come back on this side of the 39th parallel and they're eating tree bark. They're eating tree bark. And then all the time someone gets killed. Never do you see anybody in the South that's serving Jesus going to that big church down there trying to break through the barrier to get back to the North. Not one time do you ever see that. Never have you ever seen it. But time after time after time, I've seen it where someone in the North will do anything. They'll make a run for it. A lot of them get shot. But if I can just get across that border, if I can just cross that 39th parallel and get my tambourine out, going across there, I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let me sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For He's opened up for heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm crossing a 39th parallel playing my thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to know why? You want to know why in 2012 the best automobile built? I never dreamed I'd see it. Always the big three. You'd ask somebody in Florida when you went down there, who do you work for? One of the big three. We know who that is, Chrysler, GM, and Ford. I work for one of the big three. South Korea. Had the number one car. I believe they called it a Kia or a Hyundai. Huh? Hyundai. Guaranteed for 100,000 miles. I worked for Brookshire's. Went out in a parking lot one day and there's more Hyundais than anything else. Hyundais. How come? How come the best educated kids in the world are not in America no more? How come they're not in Detroit no more? How come? How come the best car? How come? Because in South Korea, 50 years ago, they were in shambles. Millions of them were dead, laying all over the country. Or 60 years ago, what was 60? Wasn't it in 50? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How come? Because they still have Bible. You can have a Bible in a school in South Korea. You can pray. You can pray in South Korea. You can take the Ten Commandments with you. You can hang them up on the wall. But this is America. America has lost her shelter. Her shelter. They've lost their covering. I'm telling you, they've lost it. And here we are. Yeah, yeah, South Korea. One of the best cars, the best education system in the world. You know, a lot of Americans sending their kids down there to get educated because there's no place to educate them. And I'm showing you, it pays. It pays. So even if we were sad, you see, today, if we were all sad, you see, we'd still be serving God and playing that tambourine. Thank God. Thank God for the blessings and the shelters. And I had a few experiences in life. If I tried to tell them all, it would. I started serving the Lord back when I was 16. But one time this is a story I had down in Texas. I was working in the oil field. I was going to church in Fort Worth. I had bought a new Lincoln, baby blue, town car. I didn't have a garage sitting in the driveway. I called my wife. She said, there's a hailstorm coming through Fort Worth. It was bad. Oh, I said, my. You know, I wasn't home. If I'd have been home, I'd have jumped in my car and run to a gas station, pulled in, got me a spot until it blew over, you know. But I wasn't home. I was 100 and some miles away. Now listen to this story. It's on record. You can call some people in Fort Worth. They'll tell you. Same story. They heard it just like I told it. I said, Lord, you know, I just bought that new Lincoln. I said, you know, if you want to beat it up with hell, go ahead. But I'd appreciate it if you'd put a blanket over it, put a shelter over it. Yeah, that's okay to pray that. You can pray that, yeah. You can pray that. Car, I pray for a car. So, I prayed for that Lincoln. I get home. There's not one hail spot on the Lincoln. You understand? one of the girls at the church come over for a visit, parked right just a little ways from the Lincoln. The hell beat her car up. I didn't think about it. I didn't pray for her car. I didn't know she was there. But I'm showing you, and I don't know why. So one sister got upset. She got upset. Now look, you'll get your turn. He might not cover your car today, but help's on its way. He'll get to it. He'll cover it. Don't worry about it. It's coming. And I still remember, I was sitting there and I got up and told the church. I thought they'd be excited. Hey, God covered my car. He sheltered it from the hailstorm. Praise God. Praise God. God covered my Lincoln. And I was excited about it. And then Brother Patton gets a note. Said, well, how come the Lord didn't cover my car? It beat her car up, one sister. And I don't know, maybe she didn't pray for it. I don't know. But I'm just showing you, it's little things. It's little things in life. It's little things in life that God does for us that keeps us. And then one of the things, I was in the military for 4 years. And they sent me to Amarillo to learn to work on jet airplanes. And so I'd never read the Bible, just got saved, joined the military because I was looking for the people of God. I asked God to help me find the people of God. I'm 1,000 miles up the road, clear up in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm praying, help me find a congregation like this. That's what I was praying for. I was 16 years old. And so he said, well, you need to join the Air Force. I said, okay. I had a big high education. I finished the 8th grade, but I started in the 9th. So I went up there to Columbus, and so the Lord told me, said, you go get in the military. I'll take you. I'll show you where they're at. And so listen to this. So I go up there, and so I take that test. They test you for hours, and they come around, pecked on my shoulder, and said, you know. Said, I can't believe this. I guess no one had ever got that close. Said, if you'd have missed just one more question, boy, we'd have sent you home. Yeah. Well, I shouted, because I knew I didn't claim to be very smart. I couldn't understand their questions. And so I said, well, that's good as 100. You know, if you pass, you pass. And off to Texas I went. And I'm showing you that we're all Jacobs. Remember that. Let's say that together. We are all Jacobs. We are all Jacobs. And Jacob said, God has given me an angel to look after me from the day I was born till I'm getting ready to curl up my feet and go. Didn't he? Read it. That's what he said. So I go to... They sent me to San Antonio. They sent me to San Antonio, the Air Force did. And so I'm out there one day, and they test you, see what you can do. Air Force are real smart. They got a system. I mean, they'll test you, you know. It's sort of like eHarmony.com. When they get through with you, you'll know who to marry. You know, they'll match you, and they was going to match me. They was going to match me up. Really, they were going to match me up with what I could do, you know? And get this. You know what I did? This is a true story. I seen one of those jets fly over. I mean, he was moving on. That was 1956. He was really getting it. I don't know if I'd ever seen one before back where I live. But boy, here he go. And he was gone. I looked up in the sky, and this is what I prayed. This is what I prayed. Remember, I've got an angel helping me take my test. Yeah, I promise you I have. And guess what? I said, Lord, if you don't mind, I sure would like to work on those planes. I'm going to be stuck in here for almost another 4 years. And if you don't mind, I'd like to work on those jets, if that's possible. So they test you for maybe a week, you know, and you take test after test after test. Once again, guy comes around, pats me on the shoulder. I thought, oh my, he's going to tell me I have to go home. I can't do nothing. I thought, you know, you know, you don't qualify for nothing. And basically, that's what he said. He said, you know, he said, you're a mystery. See, he'd never in his entire life seen anything like that. But what he didn't know was I had an angel helping me take the course. He didn't know that. He didn't know. I said, yes, sir. He said, yeah. He said, and I've got nothing against cooks, but I love to cook. I'm a cook myself. But basically, the one at the lowest on the list, if you couldn't do anything else, they'd just send you off to be a cook. And then you didn't have to cook. They'd put you to washing dishes if you didn't know how to make business. So you could wash dishes for 4 years, that old lye water in your hand, eat your hands up, and your hands just almost rot off. That had lye soap in that water to wash them dishes. And so the man tapped me on the shoulder, said, Tim, Roark, they called me, Roark, you're a mystery. He said, you didn't qualify for nothing, except jet mechanics. And I got my, get your tambourine out. That's a true story. So you don't have to be, even if you're not real educated, if you're not real smart, God will give you some of the best jobs in the world. You know why? You know, if you have to take a test, well, an angel, yeah, angel helped me. How else? You think I'm smart enough to rig that? I couldn't rig that test. I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew, I was writing for several days. Man, he done that. And God will look after you. So they send me to Amarillo, up there to work on, to learn to be a jet mechanic. And so I just got through reading. I read my Bible through, and I was reading it. And I come to the scripture where it said, not to eat no pork. I hadn't read it. I didn't know that God cleaned the hog up. I didn't know that. I wasn't that smart yet. So I said, look at that. I can't eat rats. I can't eat buzzards. I can't eat hogs. So I write all that stuff down. I'm reading. I mean, it's in there. I mean, you know, in the Old Testament. And so guess what? Early about one morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm hungry. I'm starving. Everybody's hungry because you're in basic training. And I go through the line. This is the truth. Have my tray. I can still remember. And so I put my tray out there, and there it was, you know, rolls of beautiful meat on these big aluminum trays. And so I asked that guy, I said, what is that? He said, that's ham. I think I said, is that hog meat? Yeah, you know, ham. I wasn't sure. Yeah, he said, that's pork. That's hog. I said, I remember jerking my tray back. No, don't you put none of that on my tray. I'm serious. Amarillo, Texas in 1956. In about an hour, within 1 hour, they were falling all over that base. I never did find out if some of them died. It was the worst case of food poison I'd ever seen in my life. My two roommates were so sick from eating that little piece of ham that they crawled to the bathroom. They couldn't walk. And I kept waiting for my turn. I said, well, I'm going to be next. Everybody else has fallen out. You know, we're marching, hundreds of men, they're falling everywhere. But listen to this, I never got sick. And you know why? That angel jerked, he was covering me. I was sheltered. He jerked my tray back. And what they did was, here's why it did that, because if you put ham on an aluminum tray and leave it for 2 or 3 days, it'll get you. Aluminum is what poisoned me, not the ham. It was the metal that poisoned me. I mean, poisoned all those guys if they'd have put wax paper on it. But I'm just showing you, my angel knew that pork was poisoned. I'm telling you a true story. Yeah, so you can see why I'm excited. I'm living on the hallelujah side. Yeah, even if I was a Sadducee, I'd still be playing my tambourine and thanking God for that. Isn't that amazing that God will look after us and take care of us? And so we have a shelter. And America, we don't want to be. I asked people, I said, well, would you rather have bark soup today or chicken noodle. It's up to you. You can have whatever you want. If you trust God, God will build a shelter over you, and you won't have to eat bark. We'll be able to eat chicken noodle soup. God's going to take care of us. God's going to bless us. God's going to look after us, and you can be encouraged. God will take care of you. And look, I don't measure my blessings from God in material thing. I don't do that. One of the churches, you know, in the Revelations there, Bible said you're poor, you're poverty stricken, you're going to be persecuted. But then he turned around when he got through saying that, but you're rich. But God blesses you sometime. God will just bless you. He'll just bless you. And I know I need to sit down. I don't want to take up much time. But I was cleaning streets in Ohio. Show you how God can just bless you naturally. You ain't even expecting it. I was cleaning streets in a subdivision. I had a tractor. I was running around with my tractor. And when I went by this house, a man walked out. I think God had him to walk out just that exact time while I was walking by. And so he comes out in the street. I stopped my tractor, said hi to him, and I said, you know, I've got something I'd like to give you. I believe in giving. Giving, it'll be pressed over, running down. You know, I said, I had never met the man in my life. I said, I got something I'd like to give you. I'm going to give you a glacier rock, if you know what a glacier rock is. It's a beautiful rock. It's all kinds of different colors, and you put them in your yard for decoration. And this is what he said. The same man said, and you know what? He said, I just moved here. And he said, we built a new factory here. And we have a styrofoam factory. And we're having a lot of calls, seconds, he said. And we're wanting to give them away. And he said, if you want, you can have it. And I went over there. The first load I hauled out of there, I got $1,700 for it. Of that styrofoam. Now God just blessed me. You know, did I accidentally? No. God's looking after me. God will bless you when he wants to, and God can bless you. You're just driving around with a tractor, and a man stops you. And for the last 5 years, that same styrofoam business, my son has sold over $1 million worth of styrofoam and metal every year for the last 5 years. And it all started because I was driving around and around. But I'm showing you, God can bless you. But that ain't the reason. That ain't the reason that I'm here today. The reason I'm here today, because I'm sheltered, safe within the arms of God. Let the storm clouds rise. Let the wind blow. Praise God. Let the wind blow. It don't worry me, for I'm sheltered, safe within the arms of God. Now, I've got 100 stories on how God blesses you, but it would take, if each one of them took 2 minutes, that'd be 200 minutes. That'd be over 3 hours, and he'd be on them. But I'm just going to tell you one more story, and I'll sit down. Yeah. In Illinois, way back in Brother Souter's day, it's in one of the volumes. Maybe some of you know which volume. I know I've seen the picture of it. It was a godly couple, just like there's a lot of godly couples here in the church. And you hear there's going to be a tornado maybe come through tomorrow. I see it on the news all the time, tornadoes around Little Rock. And you hear on the news there's going to be a tornado. And this man was a member of the body of Christ, him and his family. They lived out by themselves in a big old farmhouse, way out in the middle of nowhere. They had some children. I think they had one lonely old cow. And so the tornado hit. And so he told his family, said, it was an old farmhouse, said, let's go to the room. They went inside the house, the middle room. The tornado began to rip the house apart, rip it all to pieces. One board at a time. And it ripped it, and it ripped it, and it ripped it, until it got down to that one little room. And the wind stopped. Now the miracle is, not only did the man and his family not get hurt by the tornado, but his old cow, when they got up, his old cow was out there. Can you believe that? You won't ever be able to explain how the cow made it through when every board on his house was ripped off except that one room. And what I'm showing you today is the body of Christ. We're sheltered. We have a shelter. We have a covering that the world doesn't have. The world didn't give it to us, and they sure can't take us away. And that's just one of the stories. That's just one of the stories that's in those volumes that Brother Souders talked about. Just one of the stories. There's hundreds of them in there. You ought to get them and read them. Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so I'm glad to be here today. I'm going to stay over and be with you tonight. But I love Brother Smith. I love Brother Tucker. And me and Brother Smith, we used to go to church together in Fort Worth a lot. And he'd come and see me and stay with me. And I'd go out and stay with him. So aren't you encouraged today? Do you feel better? Do you feel like God's going to look after us? God's going to take care of us on our rising up, our laying down, our going out, and our coming in. Praise God. God's going to take care of us. He'll take care of us. Don't worry about it. Praise God.
Shelter. Without him, what would we do? And I thought of this song. It's called God is My Refuge. And I haven't sang it in a long time, but I just appreciate your words. Storms of life toss me to and fro. There's a place of refuge I can go. He's an anchor from every tempest, and he's an anchor that's so sure and true. Well, it's times like these, it's good for me to know. is a place, oh, of refuge that I can go. He's a shield from every tempest, and he's an anchor that's so sure and true. Well, it's time like these, it's good for me to know.
Sheltered, a wonderful covering. I appreciate Brother Roark getting up. We've known Brother Roark for a long time. He's been friends with Brother Smith for years and years, and I'm glad he came by. He purposed to come by, and I'm thankful he's staying here tonight. Didn't you appreciate what he had to say? It encouraged me. Hallelujah. And I appreciate our visitors tonight. I don't remember your name, Sister Ernestine. Sister Ernestine, she's been here before. Aren't we thankful for her to come back? Hallelujah. And then we got Brother Noah. He's also here. He's no stranger here. Glory. And Brother Joe. Glory to God. And then this young man by Brother Joe. It's Cody. Thank you. I'm terrible with names. Appreciate you being here. Hope I didn't miss anyone. Before we go, we'd like to take up prayer requests, and then we'd like to receive your offering. Brother, Sister Smith aren't here, and Brother Michael and Sister Cindy aren't here. There was a death in the Republic Church yesterday, and Sister Jill Lair, some of you, many of you know her. She passed away yesterday very unexpectedly. She had, doctor said she had a blood clot that went from her leg to her heart, and she was dead in just probably a matter of a few minutes, but they tried to revive her and resuscitate her, and finally around 3 o'clock they said we can't do it. So I don't know when they're going to have the funeral services, maybe Friday or Saturday, but we'll keep you posted. We'll let you know. But let's pray for that family. She would have been 36 in October. And so her husband, when we were leaving the hospital, he said, "What do I do now? What do I do?" You know, so he's going to need a lot of prayer. And then for the rest of the family and then for the church there, let's pray for them. And what other prayer requests? Let's keep praying for Sister Elsie. I got up Friday night. We were in church Friday night in Republic, and I asked them to keep praying for Sister Elsie. And so there's churches all over praying for her and for the family, praying for God's will, for mercy and for grace. Sister Holly. Yeah, Brother Benfield. Yes, let's keep praying for him. Let's keep praying for Elder Brother Stewart. I guess is he out of the hospital? No? Still in the hospital. Let's keep praying for him. God would touch his body, strengthen him. Sister Laura. Yeah, let's keep praying for my wife, Sister Helen, there in Springfield, Missouri. All right, let's pray for Sister Lynette. Desiring a touch for her body. Sister Crow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's pray for the Foster family. God would comfort him and help him. Yeah. Sister Lisa. All right. Yeah, Sister Lisa's having surgery tomorrow. Let's pray for her. Let's keep praying for Sister Lou Fulton. She had surgery, what, last week? Is that right? Does anybody know? Okay. All right. Let's keep praying for her that she would have a recovery. Huh? Well, that's what I said. Well, it was last week, wasn't it? But yeah. Yeah, let's keep praying for her. I thought it was last week, yeah. Yes, Sister Karen Golden. Let's keep praying for Sister Karen Golden. God would touch her body. Brother Daniels? Brother Adams, yes. Let's keep praying for him. Yes. Brother Stewart. All right, let's pray for Brother Fleming. Yeah, appreciate him calling. Let's have the ushers come forward, receive our...
There's a man that was in our church years ago. I met him yesterday. His name's Jim Dodge. And they said he had cancer in his lungs. And I speak to him.
All right, Jim Dodge. Let's pray for him. He used to go to this church.
Years ago.
Yes. All right. Why don't we... Yeah.
I have a job interview Tuesday. It's still a banking, but it's with a different company. Okay. So I wish y'all keep it in your prayers. It gives me a really good opportunity, or if
pray for Brother Brandon, this job opportunity. Don't want to miss anyone. Any other prayer requests? All right. Why don't we stand and let's take these prayer requests to the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. God, for your goodness, for your loving kindness, the way you've sheltered us, the way you cover us and protect us and watch over us, God. We appreciate so much your goodness and blessings on our life. We want to raise up all these prayer requests before you today, God. All these names that's been mentioned that need a touch in their body, God, we pray that you would touch Sister Jill Ayers' family, God. Cover them, Lord. Ease the pain in their heart, God. Go with the family. Watch over them. Touch Brother Adams, Brother Benfield, God. Touch their bodies, Lord. All the names been lifted up in this church here, God. We need your help. We need your touch, your healing mercy. Sister Lynette, God. Sister Karen Golden, Lord, touch them. Help them, Jesus. God, oh God, oh God, we need you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless this offering, Jesus. Use it for your glory, God. Go with us today, God, and bring us back again safely. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right, you can be seated. Before they have the song, we have a few announcements. Brother Phil Fisher wants his team to get together right after, cleaning team right after church today. Brother Talley's cleaning team right after church. We're meet right here. Just for a few minutes, right after church. And band practice, 4 o'clock, choir practice, 3 fingers. All right. So all you choir people, be here at 3 fingers. Thank you.
tonight. Hallelujah. Better be on the inside looking out for that ark.
Yeah. Picture.